Let us then turn in God's words to Isaiah chapter 10. We return to our consideration of Isaiah and to the 10th chapter as we remember Isaiah is sometimes called the gospel of Isaiah, the good news, as the children of Israel were in a very tough place because of their sins, because of the judgment of God on their sins. Yet God again and again reminds them not only of the judgment, but God reminds them of His grace. God reminds them of the coming Savior. And God reminds them that He is the one who protects them, even in the midst of His judgment, in the midst of trials. So Isaiah chapter 10, we will read together the whole of the chapter as our text and as our scripture reading this morning. Isaiah chapter 10. Woe to those who decree unrighteous decrees, who write misfortune, which they have prescribed, to rob the needy of justice, and to take what is right from the poor of my people, that widows may be their prey, and that they may rob the fatherless. What will you do in the day of judgment, and in the desolation which will come from afar? To whom will you flee for help? And where will you leave your glory without me? They shall bow down among the prisoners, and they shall fall among the slain. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is still stretched out still. Woe to Assyria, the rod of my anger, and the staff in whose hand is my indignation. I will send him against an ungodly nation, and against the people of my wrath I will give him charge to seize the spoil and to take the prey, and to tread them down like the mire of the streets. Yet he does not mean it so, nor does his heart think so, but it is in his heart to destroy and cut off not a few nations, for he says, are not my princes altogether kings? Is not Calno like Carchemish, and Hamath like Arpad, and Samaria like Damascus? Are not, yet as my hand has found the kingdoms of the idols, whose carved images excelled those of Jerusalem and Samaria, as I have done to Samaria and her idols, shall I not also do to Jerusalem and her idols? Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Lord has performed all his works on Mount Zion and on Jerusalem, that he will say, I will punish the fruit of the arrogant heart of the king of Assyria, and the glory of his haughty looks, for he says, by the strength of my hand I have done it, and by my wisdom, for I am prudent. Also I have removed the boundaries of the people and have robbed their treasuries. So I have put down the inhabitants like a valiant man. My hand has found like a nest the riches of the people. And as one gathers eggs that are left, I have gathered on the earth, all the earth. And there was no one who moved his wing nor opened his mouth even to peep. Shall the axe boast itself against him who chops with it? Or shall the saw exalt itself against him who saws with it? As if a rod could wield itself against those who lift it up, or as if a staff could lift up as if it were not wood? Therefore the Lord of hosts, will send leanness among his fat ones, and under his glory he will kindle a burning like the burning of a fire. So the light of Israel will be for a fire, and his Holy One for a flame. It will burn and devour his thorns and his briars in one day, and it will consume the glory of his forest and of his fruitful field, both soul and body, and they will be as when a sick man wastes away. Then the rest of the trees of his forest will be so few in number that a child may write them. And it shall come to pass in that day that the remnant of Israel and such as have escaped from the house of Jacob will never again depend on him who defeated them, but will depend on the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in truth. The remnant will return, the remnant of Jacob, to the mighty God. For though your people, O Israel, be as the sand of the sea, a remnant of them will return. The destruction decreed shall overflow with righteousness. For the Lord God of hosts will make a determined end in the midst of all the land. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of hosts, O my people who dwell in Zion, do not be afraid of the Assyrian. He shall strike you with a rod and lift up his staff against you in the manner of Egypt. For yet a little while, and the indignation will cease, as will my anger in their destruction. And the Lord of hosts will stir up a scourge for him like the slaughter of Midian at the rock of Horeb. As his rod was on the sea, so will he lift it up in a manner of Egypt. It shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder, and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. He has come to Aiath. He has passed Migron. At Michmash he has attended to his equipment. And they have gone along the ridge. They have taken up lodging at Geba. Ramah is afraid. Gibeah of Saul has fled. Lift up your voice, O daughter of Galim. Cause it to be heard as far as Laish. O poor Anathoth, Madmena has fled. The inhabitants of Gebim seek refuge. As yet he will remain at Nob that day. He will shake his fist at the mountain of the daughter of Zion, the hill of Jerusalem. Behold, the Lord of hosts will lop off the bow with terror. Those of high stature will be hewn down, and the haughty will be humbled. He will cut down the thickets of the forest with iron, and Lebanon will fall by the Mighty One. Thus far, the reading of God's word. May he add his blessing to our consideration of it this morning. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, Israel had forgotten God. We see that very clearly as we see the remedy that God brings. That Israel was relying on other nations, the nations which had defeated them. Israel was worshiping their gods. In fact, we read later on that that the Assyrians said the idols of Jerusalem and of Samaria, the two ruling cities of Israel and of Judah, were far less in beauty than the idols of these other nations which they had overtaken. Israel was more worried about things and these other gods than about the Lord of hosts. And God was going to punish them for that fact. And yet God is a merciful God. And so God said that even though they were going to go through all of these cities, and God lays it out there in verses 28 through 32, the best the king was going to be able to do was shake his fist at Jerusalem. And we know that is recorded in history, that he was turned back at Jerusalem by Almighty God. And if we read in the Chronicles earlier on in the Bible, it is a very powerful story where they heard noises and ran away and left everything sit there. And so as we live in this world, brothers and sisters, there is a lot of rattling of sabers and people saying, I'm powerful, I'm able. Sounds very modern. We hear about people who think they're important, rulers on this earth, and people get afraid of these things. Yet, brothers and sisters, where are we to be as Christians in a world which can seem so dangerous, can seem so variable? And God says, don't fear Assyria. Yeah, they're going to knock on you with a rod. But God's rod, like he did with Egypt, is going to raise from the Red Sea. And they're going to get washed away. And brothers and sisters, we need to see that though God certainly punishes sin, God is a merciful God. And our place as Christians needs to be in the trust and in the fear of God. All of these other things that we so easily run after become gods to us. We think we need this. We think we need that. This is important. That is important. God is the one who provides. God knows perfectly what we need and what we don't need. And so as we look at this passage, the theme that we want to see is God punishes the sins of Israel, yet protects the remnant of his people, bringing just judgment on the brutality of the Assyrians. God punishes the sins of Israel, Yet protects the remnant of his people, bringing just judgment on the brutality of the Assyrians. In verses 1 through 19, we see, woe to the sinful Israelites! Woe to the one who overreaches God's boundaries! In verses 20 through 34, we see that God protects the remnant of his people against their enemies. Now, Israel struggled greatly with the question, we are God's people. Why is God using these Assyrians? The Assyrians were hideous. They were horrible. If we read about what they did in conquering Israel, it is horrendous. And yet, why would God use a people who was more wicked than Israel to punish Israel? And we have to understand that God does this. But then God is also the just judge against those who he uses as the punishment, as the rod, as we read there in verse 5. And we have to see that. God will take care of his people even in the midst of horrific world situations. But we have to be very careful. How is this analogous to our culture today? The Israelites were preaching everything but God. Well, listen to so many churches today. Anything but the Bible is preached and read and taught. And brothers and sisters, we need the words of God. The church today has in many ways endorsed very wicked things. Guess what? The Israelites had very wicked practices going on. And brothers and sisters, we need to go back again and again to the Word of God. What does God say? And that's why I'm so excited and so want to push the idea of reading through the Word of God as a congregation. Because we need to know what God says. Because you need to have an understanding of whether I'm being accurate to the Word of God. You need to test what I say against the Word of God. Because I'm not always right. But brothers and sisters, we need to again and again go back to the Word of God, not teaching man's ideas, not tickling ears, not making people just want to feel good after they leave church. What we should do after we leave church is glorify and honor God. Not any human being, but God, because He is the one who deserves the honor and the glory. So first of all, woe to the sinful Israelites. What's the problem here? We talked a little bit about it. We go on here. Woe to those who decree unrighteous decrees, who write misfortune, which they have prescribed. What does that mean? Well, let's read the next verse, because that's going to help us. To rob the needy of justice, and to take what is right from the poor of my people, and that widows may be their prey, and they may rob the fatherless, those who take advantage of the poor, of the needy. Going backwards then, who write decrees of unrighteous decrees, those who use the laws to benefit over the poor, those who write misfortune, who come up with a way in which to cause misfortune to those who are unable to handle it. God doesn't mince words here, does he? What are you going to do in the day of judgment when we misuse the poor, when we take advantage of them? What will we do? And brothers and sisters, I think we have to be careful that we do not misuse poor of other countries. Whether that be the people who are in China or in the third world, we have a responsibility to take care of them as well. Yes, we don't see them every day. But we have to realize that we offload so much of nasty things from our own nation. Well, we wouldn't want to do that here. We might have to pay more for it. But brothers and sisters, we need to be careful about those things. God doesn't mince words. Now, of course, Israel was taking advantage of the poor. And they are called by God to account. And Israel was judged. God used the Assyrians to tear them apart. He says, where will you leave your glory? When we gather stuff on this world, what are we going to do with it when we die? Where does that glory go of all the stuff that we think is so important here? He says, God's anger is not turned back. His hand continues to bring judgment against His people. But on the other hand, God says, woe to the one used as a tool of God's judgment that thinks it is his own power. Woe to Syria, used by God as the rod of His anger. God would use Assyria to bring judgment on the wickedness of Israel. They are His rod, His staff of indignation, we read there. And God uses the people of the nations to do His will in judgment. When the people of Israel were wicked enough, God sent the Assyrians to punish them. God later sent similar punishment by the Babylonians against the Jews. And after the time of Christ, judgment was sent on Jerusalem and Second Temple Judaism because they had failed to worship God as well. And God says, I will send them against the people of my wrath to tread them down. Who are those people of God's wrath? Israel. What does the church have to do to be called the people of God's wrath? Well, we read a little bit about it. Take advantage of the poor. Think that stuff is more important than God. Israel had become very ungodly despite being God's people. And God's teachings were not taught. Man's ideas were taught. And Israel had become the people of God's wrath. And so God gave Israel over to the charge of the Assyrians. The Assyrians were just horrific in how they treated the people that were taken captive by them. They ripped people apart. They ripped babies out of wombs. It is just horrendous the things that they did. God uses that kind of judgment against the people Israel because they had walked away from Him. We have to realize that God's judgment is very real. And God says that they seize the spoil and they take their prey to tread them down like mire in the streets. And we have that recorded in history, that God sent the Assyrians through and they seized the spoil of Israel. All the riches, all that glory that they gathered together for themselves was taken away. Now the Assyrians thought that they were just important and powerful. Verse 5, woe to Assyria. We read verse 7. He does not mean so, nor does his heart think so, but it is in his heart to destroy and not cut off not a few nations. This was supposed to be, from their perspective, how important and big they were. And notice how nations have that idea even today. This is my power. This is my abilities. No, we as nations need to serve God, not man, not our own desires. It is not us. And we as the United States need to have that in our brain too. That it's not about the United States. And God will judge if we continue to thumb our noses at Him and to do that which is evil and call that which is evil good and that which is good evil. And so the people aggrandize themselves. They say, even our princes are kings. We're so important. And the cities of Israel, the cities of God's people, God's church, aren't they just like any other people? No, God stands behind His people. And there's a list here in verse 9 of the cities overthrown by the Assyrians. Aren't those just Samaria and Jerusalem? That's going to be the same stuff. It says the images of the nations were better than the images of Israel. That the idols that they served were better idols than the idols which were set up in Jerusalem and in Samaria. Won't God allow Jerusalem and Samaria to fall just as the other idled nations did? The fate of idols is set over against the care of God, the one true God. And they say, they're just like other people. We have to understand that Christians are not just like other people. God is the one who gives us power, not our abilities, not whether or not we have so many other things. You know, our nation calls those certain groups of people, they hold on to their guns to keep them safe. Well, yeah. But God is the one who keeps safe, not even the weapons that we have. I don't care if we have tanks and fighters or whatever it is. God is the one who provides the victory, not the kings, not the rulers and presidents and all of these other things. God is the one. And God will punish the overreaches of the nation used to punish his people. When the Lord has performed his work in Jerusalem, he will punish the arrogant heart of the king of Assyria. What work is God doing in Jerusalem and on Mount Zion? He's reminding them who to trust. And we as Christians need to be reminded of that as well. Israel was trusting in idols, trusting in things. Idols were just representatives of different things, whether it be, you know, fertility for the land, good crops, so many other things. That's what an idol really is serving stuff instead of serving God, serving the creature rather than the creator, Romans chapter 1. And so what is God doing? God is reminding them to fear him. Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. They say that it's their strength that has overthrown the nations, the Assyrians say. The world, the nation thinks it's about their abilities, their strength that makes them able to rule. God is the one who makes us able to rule, not a man. We as the United States have been riding on what we once were as a people serving God. If we do not reestablish ourselves in God's service, if we do not bow before God, we will fall and we will receive punishment. The first step for us as Christians is to be praying for righteous leaders. Second of all, we need to be praying for our current leaders. We need to be praying for the gospel to go forth in this nation. We need to be praying. The Apostle James says, "You have not because you ask not." We need to be at the throne of God, the throne of grace, praying. And so, we have further thoughts by the Assyrians. "We're like taking eggs from a hen," he says, verse 14. "They didn't even move a feather." It's because God gave it into their hands, not because they were so good. And God says, "Shall the axe boast itself," verse 15, "against him who chops with it?" Is the tool that which boasts? Of course not. The one who is important is the one who uses it. And the Lord will consume the forest of Assyria down to a couple of trees, verses 16 through 19. The Lord of hosts will kindle a fire under his glory. Notice how God aligns himself then back with the people of Israel, especially with Judea. Again, God builds up and God is the one who takes down. Verse 16, The Lord of hosts will send leanness among his fat ones, and under his glory he will kindle a burning like the burning of fire. Then verse 17, so the light of Israel will be for a fire, and the Holy One for a flame. The God is the one who is able to cast down even the power of the Assyrians. When you looked at the Assyrians from the Israelite perspective, they didn't think they could do anything to defend themselves. And God is the one who gives. And God is the one who takes down then Assyria. They're going to burn Assyria. It's going to come down so far that it is going to be down to just a few trees so that a child could number them from a forest, the forest of destruction that was Assyria. And again, history records that fact. And so first of all, woe to Israel. Woe to the people who think they're God's people yet serve other things, not God. And yet at that same time, we read verses 20 through 34 that God protects the remnant of his people against their enemies. A remnant of Israel will return to the mighty God. In that day, the remnant of Israel will never again depend on those who defeated them. This establishes the point that God is making in judgment of Israel. They had trusted in someone, something else. They had trusted in the gods, the idols of the nations, those who defeated them. They said, "Well, these guys beat us, they must have power over us." Quite the opposite. God is the one who gives power to rule, and God is the one who gives power of safety. This was a first commandment issue. We as human beings are so easily idol factories. We're always looking for something else in which to put our trust instead of or alongside of God. In whom do we trust? What do we trust? God comes first. Our own ideas, our own abilities, man's ideas, all of these other things are fighting for a distant last place. And the remnant of Israel will return to the mighty God. Here's grace. Israel was rotten to the core. So rotten, as we read earlier, that God called them, verse 6, an ungodly nation and the people of my wrath. Yet God saves some. He is merciful. Jesus didn't say, broad is the road to heaven. Jesus said, narrow is the road and hard is the way. And we, brothers and sisters, need to do everything within our power to make sure that we are on that way, because judgment will come. And of the multitude of Israel, the remnant returned, a very, very small remnant. Notice when we start reading in the New Testament, there are people from the different small other tribes, the 10 tribes of Israel, that are still running around in Israel. That is because God returned them as part of that remnant. And just like Egypt, God is in control, and God will determine the extent of the Assyrian abilities. And so when the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing, Psalm 2, God laughs. When we as human beings think we're powerful, God will stop Assyria's advances, like Oreb, that God destroyed on the way for Israel out of Egypt. And like Egypt itself, when God raised the rod of Moses from the waters came in and killed the whole army. We do not, as Christians, need to fear the machinations of the nations. We must fear the God who's in control and the God who will judge us. In that day, his burden, we read verse 27, will be taken off of Israel's neck. The Assyrians will come down on the Israelites heavily. But God is the one also who lifts off the judgment. God is the one who cares for his people, even in hardship. And God controls the advance of his people's enemies. God lays out here in verses 28 through 32 the advances, tells where they're going to stay even overnight. And God says, I know exactly how this is. But they will not touch Jerusalem, verse 32. This is borne out in history. The Lord is the one who will lop off these energies, enemies, and cause their fall. God will destroy his enemies. We don't need to fear that. We don't need to fear, even when things go badly for us, as a part of a nation which may well be judged for all the wickedness we celebrated. How many years of Roe v. Wade now? And how many children were murdered? That is a horrendous stain on this nation, among so many other things, which we as a nation are taking up the wrong and saying it's right, and the right that's saying it's wrong. If we do not change our path, God will judge, and I would be very dishonest with you to say if I didn't think he was already judging this nation. If we read the judgments that God tells us about in Romans chapter 1. And brothers and sisters, we don't need to fear that if we are in Christ. But we need to be very careful by the grace of God to be on that narrow road. To walk the path that leads to life. Yes, we know that in the end of it, if we do that, it is the grace of God working in our hearts. Brothers and sisters, we are not inactive in our salvation. And we as Christians need to be very careful to do those things which make for eternal life, knowing that it is God who works in us to will and to do according to his good pleasure. So brothers and sisters, judgment. We need to understand that God judges the nations, that God is the one who reigns over the nations. And God will judge. But at the same time, if we are in Christ, we have peace. in life and death. No matter what happens, it's in God's hands. We do not need to fear the Assyrians, no matter what nation that may be today or in the future. We need to fear God. God is the one who cares for us perfectly. And nothing can change that. Amen. Let us then bow our heads and our hearts before God's throne of grace in prayer. And we'll close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Indeed, O Lord, why have the nations raged and the peoples plotted a vain things? The kings set themselves against the Lord and against His Christ. And yet, Lord, You in heaven laugh. You hold them in derision. And we come before You, O Lord, praying that our hearts would not be set on the things of this world, that our lives would not be guided by idols and other things than You. We pray, Lord, that we would glorify and honor and serve You with our whole lives, so that no matter what happens in this world, we do not need to fear. We have comfort in life and in death. We pray, O Lord, that we would fear You, that we would have a righteous fear of Almighty God, and that we would spread the good news of the gospel within this nation, within our own community. And we pray, Lord, that You would be glorified to call many to Yourself from this nation. We pray, O Lord, for those who rule over us, that righteousness would be enacted. We pray for those who do not believe, that You would change their hearts. We pray, Lord, that wickedness would be cast down and foolishness would be cast aside, and that the truth of the gospel would shine. We pray, Lord, that You would use us to that end. We pray, Lord, above all, that all of this, that all of our lives would be to the glory of our great God and Savior. For we pray these things in Jesus' name, praying as He taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.